Steve-O, what a introduction. And didn't he do an awesome job leading the service this morning? Because Stephen's actually, he's heading off again for a second year of BSSM. So even though he told you that he's coming back, he's going again at the end of August. And it was his heart to want to just serve this house while he was here. And, you know, he just kept putting up his hand that he'd love to have the opportunity to lead the service before he goes. And I think it's an example of his heart that he's grown. You've definitely grown. You've just absolutely grown hugely. Can't even put words to how much you've grown, but you know, I remember years ago when you first came here and back in Carmo, in the Carmo Church, and look where you are today and what you're doing. And, you know, he's a man of courage. And yes, he has been working with me for a few months, and he's been a real asset to our team, and it's come at a timely time. As well, I didn't know whether I could guarantee him full-time work for the 2 or 3 months he was here, but it's worked out perfectly. I don't think you've had a day off apart from the days you've chosen to have off. So, we've done pretty well. And something really cool about just Stephen's heart and just the dynamic he carries and what he brings, and even just the little added dynamic he's brought to our team. And even though it's amazing how God has actually set it up that we're probably like an 80% easily Christian building company, and it's not the way I set it up, but it's just the way it's happened. So we carry a real weight of heaven as a business. And that's our heart, that's our purpose and what we're doing. So whether there's just me and one other person as a believer, the foundation of the business is built as a kingdom business. And but it's just cool anyway. Just a cool little story about this week about Stephen is that I needed to go on to one of the jobs and meet one of the truck drivers and unload a whole new house load of frames. And anyway, partway through the time there, the truck driver says to me, "Oh, you know that job I was on the other day where you got that young guy working? He says, he's a real person. He's got a real strong faith, hasn't he?" And I said, "Oh, yeah, that must be Stephen." And I said, "Oh, what did he do?" And and he said, I came on site and then he asked, and he all of it said, "I have a, just like a word of knowledge, I have a feeling that you have pain. Do you have pain in your body? A sore back or something?" I think you asked him, and sure enough, this guy had pain in his back, and you asked if you could pray with him, and the guy let him pray with him, and then Stephen proceeded to ask the guy if there's anything else that he would like prayer for, and this guy said, "Well, he's got hearing aids," and he says, "I'm pretty much deaf, and without these." And so Stephen said, "Can I pray for you?" And he said, "Well, no, there's nothing. They're gone. They're shot. My ears are shot." And but Stephen obviously just persisted, and the guy let him pray for them. And I said to the guy, I said, "You know, was Stephen respectful in the time that he shared with you?" And he said, "Absolutely." He said he was 100% respectful and honouring of me and what I said. And I said to him that, you know, with the fact that, you know, your ears hadn't been healed and just how bad they were, I said to him, you know, really at the end of the day, though, you didn't have anything to lose in letting someone pray for you. And he said, "That's exactly what I thought at the time. You know, that I haven't got anything to lose." And he said, "If this guy's got that much faith that he's willing to believe that I can be healed, then what have I got to lose?" But through it, we haven't seen that there was a miracle healing as such, but what impacted me about it was that this guy's emotional world was impacted, his spirit and his soul world was impacted by the fact that he made reference to that. This is what he said, that there's, I don't know of very many people in this world that actually you come onto a site or go to where people are and they actually have like the sensitivity to feel that you have something wrong with you. And, you know, I feel that as much as we focus on and we believe for this, the physical healing, you know, that it's the heart of a person, it's the soul of a person that is just as important to be healed and to be impacted. And what Stephen also doesn't know, well, he knows, he'll know now, is that this guy is actually the son of the owner of the building merchant that we deal with 100%. And so it's a big building merchant in Whangarei. And it happened to be the son of the owner of it. And so you never know what you're doing. So anyway, cool story about Stephen just doing his bit. So hopefully it's contagious for the rest of us. But this morning, just thank you for the opportunity to share. It's good. I think I was up here earlier in the year and sharing about being in the right place. And this morning, again, we're in the right place together. And this morning, I just want to share on divine, walking in divine identity. And this is going to come, again, out of just my personal journey and just where I've journeyed. And I just had the feeling, you know, the leading up over the last few weeks that there's probably people here who don't really know who I am, and because we've got a lot of new faces here. But part of why we're here is, as Renita and I, and as a family, the reason why we're here is because we chose 6 years ago to take the plunge and trust in God that there's a bigger picture involved in our spiritual journey and our life's journey. And we've chosen to journey this life with Him. And, you know, 6 years ago, we were previously for 6 years senior pastors of a church in Ruakaka out in Bream Bay. And prior to that, involved for 11 years, well, myself was, and Renita for the last few years involved in youth pastoring in one of the cities, churches in the city here. And I thought that was my lot for life, to be a pastor. And through my youth years, it was always spoken over my life that you're going to be a pastor, you're going to be a pastor, and all the prophetic words, pastor this, pastor that, pastor for lunch, breakfast, lunch and dinner. It was just like, so it's like when you're in that environment and you're in a spiritual environment like this, and you're strong on just what God's saying through people and through words. And so, and then when you choose to go to Bible college for a couple of years, you just assume, well, this is the path, this is the process. And then now that I'm going from youth pastoring to senior pastoring, I've climbed that corporate ladder of pastoring, and now this is my lot for life. And that's seriously what I thought it was. And but now, 6 years ago, we finished up, and we now have Arise Builders that's been going 6 years. And Renita now has a business, Harmonic Health. You know, so much, there's a bigger picture to our lives than we realize. That God is bigger than you realize. God is bigger than you know. And we need to be willing to shift. We need to be willing to change. We need to be willing to follow our heart, to follow the journey of the inside, and trust Him with our lives. And one of the key things He said to us when we finished up pastoring was that He was giving us, Renita and I, the opportunity to dream again with Him. It was like it's not that everything that had previously happened was being wiped away. It was like It was he was giving us an opportunity to write a chapter of our lives with him. And it's not that I hadn't allowed him to write aspects of the book with him throughout my life, because we're all a product today of the choices we've made already. But it was like I'd got to a point where I was just doing what I'm doing now because that's what I've been doing. I'm just going to keep doing it because I think this is what I'm meant to keep doing. And it seems the right thing to do. It seems the Christian thing to do. And it would please the people around me if I kept doing what I was doing. But when God captures your heart and says to you that I'm giving you the opportunity to dream again with me, it's so liberating and so freeing to be able to do that. And God's the biggest dreamer. You know, he dreamed of the day that we would all be together in the service and talking about stepping into our divine identity and discovering who we really are, not who you should be or who you, how you should behave and how you should dress and, you know, the classic Sunday. How are you going? I am doing great. You know, I've got you probably wouldn't realize if you talk to me, but when you ask me how I'm going, I'm gauging from person to person. Do you have time? Do you want to know how I'm doing? You know, and I know that the service is short and we don't have time, but truly, like, yeah, the how are you doing? How are you doing this morning? And he wants to unlock our identity this morning in him. And so let's quickly jump to, I think it's Luke 19. I've got a little treat as well this morning for you guys. So what did I say? Luke 19. I love this story of Zacchaeus, the tax collector. So Zacchaeus, Zacchaeus 19, Luke 19. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. So if you are not aware that tax collectors were extremely despised people, because the way that they made their profit and the way that they made money is that they would collect the taxes from the families and the people, but then they would sort of force and manipulate an additional amount of tax out of those people, and that's sort of what generated their additional profit. I'm sure they would have got something, a cut from Caesar, but there was, the general gist was that they were, if you owed $100 tax, he would probably take $150 tax, and so that's sort of how they lined their pockets. And so this tax collector was extremely wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but being a short man, he could not because of the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down and at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, "He has gone to be the guest of a sinner." So you get a pretty clear picture here that not many words have even been exchanged. We've got a tax collector who knows that he's not the most popular person in town. He is so eager, though, to see this Jesus that he's heard about. He has a short stature. He needs to climb a tree to get above the crowd. And Jesus comes by him, looks at him, and says, "Zacchaeus, today I need to come and dine with you." It's a beautiful picture. It's a beautiful picture of a God that knows and sees what everybody else is not seeing. Everyone else is seeing a sinner and a tax collector, but Jesus is seeing a man who with a far greater and a deeper lens than the eyes of man. And so, but Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount. Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and save what was lost." Simply put, Zacchaeus had his identity restored to him that day. That he too, though he was despised as a sinner, who would eat at this man's house? But he was given the identity that he was also a son of Abraham. That he was a son and a daughter like you and I. And what I love about this is that he had behavioral issues called stealing. And do you read anywhere that Jesus confronted him and said, "Zacchaeus, I'm coming to your house, but while I'm there, I would appreciate it if you gave all your money to the poor, and that while you're at it, can you just give back four times as much from those that you've stolen?" Jesus didn't do any of that. All Jesus done is invited him into the house of a sinner. And the impact was so deep that he, on his own accord, not because the pastor pulled him out, not because the deacons went around to his house, the elders, and hit him up about what's going on with your drinking problem or your gambling problem, there was a personal encounter and a revelation that as a son of God, that this is what I feel is the right thing to do. And that's the picture of when we step into our own identity is, yes, there's times where we need someone to come up the side and kick or slap us. But 99% of the time, it's a personal encounter, personal revelation of where he comes and meets with us and he restores our identity. And that work is a far deeper work, I believe. And so, you know, when we step into our identity, it carries so much more weight. It carries so much. We walk with a greater strength and an ability to do what we're called to do. So for us, stepping into business and choosing to do that is that we know we've got the weight of heaven behind us. We've got the affirmation of the Father because we've chosen to step into identity. And this picture of stepping into your identity is not just it happens all at once, but it's a process where we're constantly realizing the benefits of our identity in Him. Some of you would remember the series Jason Bourne. And the very first of the series is Bourne Identity. And there's a scene in there where he ends up on the ship and there's this I don't know, he must be a surgeon, but he's this makeshift guy. He's got all the tools to cut all the bullets that are out of his back. And then he finds this lump and he cuts around the lump and out comes like a microchip. And we know that in the movie that Jason is a military expert and he's had his memory wiped. And he's done a whole lot of stuff for the CIA or all that sort of stuff, and pretty much not really knowing who he is. And anyway, so he has this chip cut out, and then he comes to, well, actually the guy goes out of the room and washes it, and he comes back and he's not on the table, and then the guy almost takes him out. Jason almost takes him out, and then he's saying to him, "What's your name? What's your name?" And he's just all of a sudden goes, "I don't know." And then he's asking, "Where am I? I don't know." And then he collapses. And then there's another scene later on where he has started to figure things out. The memories are coming back. The dreams are triggering things. And he ends up getting into this big bank. And he goes into a lockbox, which is apparently his. And he opens this lockbox, not knowing what is in there. And he finds a passport is in there. There's a gun and all these money and all these other things. There's a passport in there. And he opens up the passport and he sees a picture of himself. And then he sees his name, Jason Bourne. And he says, "Oh, I'm Jason Bourne." And it says the country that he's from. And he says, "Oh, I'm from such and such." I can't remember the country. And then he lifts up this tray and underneath is all these other things, the hidden things, and there's all these, like probably about 20 passports, and they've all got his face on them, but they're all different aliases and names that he's under while he's been drugged and driven by some other outfit. He's been carried out all these other things under a false identity, someone who he's not. And he's all of a sudden obviously realizes when he sees his own passport, he realizes who he really is. And then the movie just takes off again. And I'm not advocating watching it for everyone, but it definitely is a good way to sum up my message today. So what I'm trying to say at the moment is that God is bigger than we think he is. That you and I cannot box God into our Sunday experience. We cannot just go to church and read our Bibles and say, "I must be a good Christian now." You and I are not defined by what we do or do not do. We're defined by who he says we are and whose we are. And that's when we come alive. That's when we come alive into who we really are, and that we're not held back by what other people say. And you know, Facebook's an amazing picture of it. Used to be we gauged, you know, just by people saying to us whether they liked us or not. Now it's by the clicks of likes that we get or don't get, and if Instagram apparently has removed that. But you know, sadly we have one of the highest suicide rates in the world. And a huge part of that is because of forgetting who we are. Not remembering who we are. That we've been given a false chip. There's a false voice speaking into our world, and it's tried to erase our memory and trying to get us to forget who we really are. But this morning, his heart is for us to remember who we are this morning, that we can be powerful people walking in our purpose and in our destiny this morning. So someone who is walking powerfully in her destiny, and I get to live my life with her, I get to sleep with her, I get to experience raising an amazing 3 children with her. And that is Renita. And she's going to actually be sharing for 10 minutes. We're tag teaming a little bit this morning. And what I thought about this morning is that, you know, yeah, she's got a story to tell as well. All of us have a story to tell. We all have a story to tell. And but she's going to share a little bit about just in relation to stepping into her identity this morning. So let's give Renita a hand as she comes up this morning.
Thank you. Yay. Well, this is tall for me. Awesome. Well, I consider it a privilege to be able to share a little bit of my journey. And you've heard a little bit of Sean talking about our journey with pastoring churches, youth pastoring, and 6 years pastoring in Ruakaka. And God clearly spoke to us in that season of our lives that it was time to move on. And that's when Sean said we were given permission to dream again. And it was so clear when I was asking God about, oh, what are we meant to be doing now? And I was seeking God, and God very clearly said, how do you want to serve me in this season of your life? And God followed by saying, there are people who clean toilets more wholeheartedly and faithfully than many pastors and leaders. And my spirit went, whoa. And I realized that God was giving us an opportunity to dream. And how do I choose to serve God? How do I choose to bring pleasure to God? What is it that I can put my hands to wholeheartedly and bless the Lord? And so, yeah, we learned to dream again. Sean and I had fun in that season. We really found a lot of freedom. And also, it can be challenging. Sometimes, can anyone relate? It's like easier if God, you just tell me what to do. 1, 2, 3, and I'll do it. Just give me a scroll in the night through an angel and boom, I'll be your faithful servant. But how many of you know that's not always the best for us? God is wanting to co-labor with his children, not be like a dictator. So yeah, it's a bit scary and a bit challenging sometimes. Does God say, well, what do you want to do? Yeah, and that's when I started learning about what it means to live true. Living true has been a huge part of my journey the last 5 or 6 years, because God has been teaching me about what is truly in my heart and how that comes forth in my atmosphere even. How many of you know, like we were talking about coming into church, how are you? And someone says, I'm great. And your heart's like, gosh, that wasn't true for them in that moment. Anyone feel that, you know? And anyone give off that too? Like when this is like, I'm fine. I could tell in your tone. But, you know, as Christians, we have learnt a little bit of the way to behave, and I was that good Christian girl, and I knew how to behave, and I made sure I did behave, and I was squashing something inside of me to behave, to fit in, and that something was also Holy Spirit, because Holy Spirit doesn't want to be boxed in and behave. Have you even told Holy Spirit to behave? Ah, Holy Spirit is. So yeah, I've been learning on this journey about living true and how what it's like to tune into my heart and what my heart is speaking. And I call it this revelation, the trainer wheels of religion. And God showed me this picture because with our first child, we used trainer wheels because we just thought that's what you do as parents. And she did trainer wheels and that was fine. And when it came to take them off, it was like, it was a shock to the system because she was used to being balanced like this, and it was really hard for her to find her balance. It took a while. With our youngest, he had a balance bike. Genius inventions. If you don't know what they have no pedals and you just balance and go along. So he's been balancing, you know, running his balance bike. And when it came time for him to get a pedal bike, it was a non-event, like absolutely non-event, just pedal and he already had his balance. So why I call that the trainer wheels of religion, because if we are constantly being told, this is right, this is wrong, on this side, oh, yep, that was the right thing. I get that. Oh, this is wrong. Oh, someone told me. And you never learn your inner balance. We don't learn to listen to Holy Spirit when we have everyone else telling us what's right or wrong. Is that good for us? We don't have our inner balance. And that's been a disservice to us as believers when we are telling each other what's right or wrong. Because we're not allowing Holy Spirit within us to teach us that. So this is living true. And I invite you, I know you're already on this journey, I invite you deeper into this journey of living true to your heart, you know, where Holy Spirit is in your heart speaking truth to you. Freedom is not allowing others to dictate what is right and wrong for you, because we are one with Christ and we need to trust God in us and that voice. And Sean talked a bit about identity and the Bourne movie. I actually haven't seen that movie. He probably wouldn't recommend it for me. But I love that. What he shared was so good. And in that season of my life, I had a lot of passport dreams too. I'd be turning up to the airport and my passport was at home, or something was wrong, or there was ink on it or something. And I knew God was speaking to me about the importance of my identity. And I want to read what it says in Romans 5. Verse 1 to 2, our faith in Jesus transfers God's righteousness to us. Isn't that great? God's righteousness to us and how he declares us flawless in his eyes. Just say that out loud. I am flawless in his eyes. Wow, do you guys think about that? This means we can now enjoy true and lasting peace with God, all because of what our Lord Jesus, the Anointed One, has done for us. And this is the key to our identity, okay? Like on my own, all my own efforts, they just fall to the wayside, but my strength and my identity is in Christ. It's who Christ says I am. It's like his righteousness is transferred to me. That's amazing, and it's transferred to you. Yeah, so I love this journey of learning my identity in Christ. And there was one very powerful revelation I had a couple of years ago when I was at a conference in the worship time. And I was just engaging with Holy Spirit and seeing Christ in me and enjoying Christ in me. And Jesus is like, why do you always shrink me down to your size, Christ in you? Do you know it's also you in Christ? And how about I invite you to engage what it means to be in Christ, me in Christ. So I was like, okay, that's really big. Because I'm always putting Jesus into like me when I'm engaging what that looks like. So then I imagined Jesus's big toe like filling the conference room. And I was like, okay, I'm going to start with Jesus. Actually, it was his little toe. I'm going to start with Jesus' little toe and just let my spirit be in Christ, starting with the little toe. And wow, I got really big. I really got really big because me and Christ is went off the planet. And I really invite you to engage this truth from Scripture, Christ in you and you in Christ, because let's stop shrinking Christ down. My identity from that revelation just blew a lot of boxes. Really blew a lot of boxes. And that comes by revelation of the Spirit, amen? It's not me trying to make that up. That was a conversation with God that God allowed me to see the truth of who I am. And that my journey with my identity has been so strengthened through times of soaking in the Spirit or meditation and waiting on God and asking God questions like, how do you see me? Is one of the most powerful questions you could ask. Actually, it's part of your homework today. We have homework for you. Who's excited? Anyone? It's really good homework, asking God, how do you see me? Because I just continued to have encounters with God and it changed the way I saw myself, which in turn changed the way I treat others. And my first encounter was when I was just sitting and being still with God, listening to some music. And all of a sudden I saw this hallway and I walked down this hallway and at the end of the hallway was a door. And I opened that door and I was in a desert. And that was the beginning of me seeing in the Spirit in heavenly places. And I could tell you story upon story of different revelations I've seen from being in that place with Jesus that has transformed how I see myself and how I see God and how I see my world. I really invite you on that journey of spending that time in stillness with God. So we're creating dreams together. We have a building company, which, like, when Sean was like, I want to employ someone, I was like, oh, how do we do that? And we had to learn everything from scratch. We dreamt up things with God and then we needed to, like, activate it, right? And I love serving Christ now through that business, and now I've studied as a naturopath and I'm serving God in the area of health, and I need to live true to what God is telling me to do, right? And I love it. I don't have to try when it's really from my heart. And another opportunity I had to renew my mind and my identity and dreaming with God was when I was walking the beach and I was, again, doing the good Christian thing, and I was praying in tongues. And Jesus was like, can you be quiet? And I was like, what? Why do you want me to be quiet? And then I just took a moment and looked around me and Jesus was like, I just wanted to enjoy walking the beach with you. And it just brought another level of awareness to how Christ wants to be so in the moment with us. I'm all for praying in tongues, but sometimes Christ just wants to be in the moment with us. And that's about living true, okay? So, we're throwing off all the right, wrong, what other people are telling us to do today, because that stops us from dreaming and listening to our heart and following through on what God is showing us. And I just want to end in Romans 15. This is my prayer for us today. Now may God, the inspiration and fountain of hope, fill you to overflowing with uncontainable joy and perfect peace as you trust in Him. Say, I trust God in me. I trust God in me. And may the power of the Holy Spirit continually surround your life with His super abundance until you radiate with hope. Amen. Whatever you are dreaming up with God, your destiny is to radiate with hope. And that's my prayer for you today. Tag, handsome husband.
Ah, should have just got her to finish the whole thing. Oh, that's awesome. Because that was one thing that when we stepped into this new season is that we were choosing to do it together. You know, journey into this new season together. We chose to transition out and then to transition into business. And we were, you know, and over the years, and I've got some significant times where I made some bad financial choices in business, and to have someone say, well, come alongside me and say, when I felt like the biggest loser and letting my family down, and actually to have your wife come along and saying, we're in this together, we're journeying this together, we'll get through this together, you know, it's something powerful about that. And so that's co-laboring with Christ, because not all of you are married here. And so, you know, it's if you're married, how can two walk together unless they're in agreement? You know, and it's same for us as singles, and even as married, we're in a single relationship with Christ. How can two walk together unless we're in agreement with Christ and willing to co-labor with Him? And there's something powerful about walking in and stepping in our, knowing who we are in Christ and walking in our identity. We can have confidence in carrying the right passport, the passport of heaven. And remembering who we are is key. Who am I? You know, God said to Abraham, to Moses, when Moses was trying to have an argument with the burning bush about getting out of going back to Egypt, and God just said, I am. I am that I am. And when He says, you are, you can say, I am. When he said to Gideon, you are a mighty man of valor, Gideon could then say, I am a mighty man of valor. When Peter had put his mouth in it and disowned Christ and Jesus restored him, you are the one that's going to, was it, see the gates of hell will not prevail against you. You will build my church. When he says you are, then Peter can say, well, I am. And so we need to hold on to what he's saying about you. And we do this as a family with our children. We don't have a naughty corner. We have a remembrance spot. And when we send the children to the remembrance spot, then it might be for disrespecting one of us, could be an example. And then so we talk with them and we say, who did you forget that you are? Who are you? What did you forget? And they say, I am respectful. I am loving. And they say it on their own accord. And we need to do that as adults. When we forget who we are, we act recklessly. We make stupid choices when we forget who we are. We've all got a story to tell about the stupid choices we made. You simply made those because in that moment you forgot who you were. But when we remember again, we step back into our identity and he restores us without saying a word, just like Zacchaeus, just like the woman caught in adultery. Where are your accusers? There are none. Well, neither do I accuse you. Go. So that's his heart this morning, is that we choose to remember who we are. Remember who we are. And I'm gonna land this with a bit more to share, but I'm gonna cut a lot of out of out. But I've got my passport here because I actually had a significant dream only a few days before Matt actually preached a message about something to do with identity and passport stuff. And I actually had a dream that I got up to customs and I didn't have my photo wasn't there. Had all my passport, but I didn't have my photo. And I was just like realizing at that moment, it doesn't matter about the fact that it says Sean David Curtis and my birth date, where I'm from, and even that I have my passport number, without them being able to validate this picture against this face, they're not going to let me in. And I woke up that morning realizing that I'd been journeying a season of my life and I had forgotten who I was. And that's a whole different story. And that morning, sitting where David's sitting, when we had an opportunity from Matt to leave on our seat the baggage or whatever it was, I knew that it was totally talking about my dream that I'd had, that he was restoring my identity back to me, because I was struggling for weeks to want to come up and be on the ministry team because I just thought, who am I, blah, 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 and I'd just been through a whole lot of stuff. And like, so I was thinking I'll just come up and respond like everyone else and get prayed for. And the Holy Spirit said to me, Sean, you're not going to get prayed for. You're going to get up on the ministry team and activate stepping into your identity. And I had one of the most amazing times praying for one or two people that morning, and I chose with an action to activate what I dreamed about, and I saw my face get put back on my passport so I could travel again with him. And, you know, just like Jason Bourne, realizing and remembering who he was and remembering his name once again. And that's what he's wanting to do this morning, is that he's calling us to remember who we are. And so I'm sort of going to land it there. I am going to speak after this. We're going to watch a quick video clip I couldn't help showing this morning. And I know we're in the Lion King season, and I didn't purposely choose this because of that, but this is powerful, and this is the original. So let's just have a quick look at this.
Sure do. You're Mufasa's boy. Bye.
Hey, wait. You knew my father?
Correction. I know your father.
I hate to tell you this, but he died a long time ago.
Nope! Wrong again! He's alive! And I'll show him to you. You follow old Rafiki. He knows the way. Come on! Don't dawdle! Hurry up!
Hey, whoa, wait, wait!
Come on! Come on!
Would you slow down?
That's not my father. It's just my reflection.
No. Look hard. You see, he lives in you.
Always a powerful scene that, and it's him and us and him, and we just need to remember who we are. And I didn't see this till last night on my passport, but it's got the symbol of the monarchy that we are under, and I just love this statement here. I hadn't read it ever before. It says, the Governor General in the realm of New Zealand requests in the name of Her Majesty the Queen, all whom it may concern, to allow the holder to pass without delay or hindrance, and in case of need, to give all lawful assistance and protection. It just carried a whole lot more weight for me as to what this passport actually does and transitioning into another country, that I've got the whole backing of New Zealand, the government, and the Queen. And but that's a picture of our lives. You know, we're under the governance of heaven. We're citizens of heaven. We're citizens of the kingdom of heaven. And that as we choose to journey this life, we can trust Him. That when our identity's in Him, we've got the backing of heaven. You've got the affirmation of the Father this morning. So I'm going to invite the band to come up. And while the band are coming up, I just need a couple of helpers really quick just to hand out these. I'm not going to say too much about it. You can just receive a copy. And this is what the homework that you're talking about. We just want to have an activation for you to go home this week with. And it's got on there four things. Dreaming with God. Remember one or more dreams that you have in your heart. activate. Write down two things you can do this week to nourish and cultivate your God dreams. Identity, ask God, how do you see me? Spend 10 minutes in stillness and write down what you see and hear. And then alignment, write 5 I am declarations to speak over yourself daily this week. So I am a child of God. I am loved. I am safe. I am secure. I am a good listener. I am respectful. I am joyful. And my children love saying, I am a magnificent, radiant being of light. And so this is your homework for the week. And we're going to stand this morning. One of the most important things in all of creation is when one of his amazing creations, you and I, realize our identity in him for the very first time. And I mean, if you're here today and you've never given your life to Jesus and you've heard what I've been talking about, what Renita and I have been talking about, that you for the very first time can come and step into the realization that you are a son and you are a daughter of God, that you can be a citizen of heaven, that you already carry a passport, but this morning he just wants to stamp it with your face and with his seal this morning, his seal of approval. And we want to give opportunity. We give opportunity every week that if you've never given your life to Jesus, or maybe you've really forgotten who you are and you've made some bad choices, just remember this morning, you're not a bad person. You simply forgot who you were. And this morning, he wants to restore your dignity. He wants to restore your identity this morning. So if we could just close our eyes for one moment. And if you're here this morning and you'd like to choose to step into the kingdom of heaven this morning, I want to encourage you to just raise your hand. I'm not going to call you out in front of everybody, but I want you to simply raise your hand and just say, Sean, yes, this morning I want my identity redefined this morning, and I want to become a citizen of the kingdom of heaven. And I want to acknowledge that I can be a son or a daughter of the King this morning. Or if you want to come home, you've been like the prodigal son who forgot who he was and went on a distant wild party. There's grace and forgiveness in that place. So just if there's anyone here this morning, just give you the opportunity to raise your hand right now. Thank you, Jesus. I see those hands. Thank you. Nothing beats the feeling of just being secure in who we are. It's a horrible feeling when we try to pretend and be somebody else that we're not. And it's so liberating when in the kingdom of heaven that we can step into just being able to be who we are. You can be the best version of you. That's what you're designed for. That's what he's created you and I for, is to be the best version that you can be. So Father, I want to thank you for those that responded this morning. Father, I thank you that they chose to step out of a place of unknown, but Father, now this morning, stepping into the place of being known and stepping into your kingdom, the kingdom of heaven, Father. And we just thank you Father, for your grace, and we just thank you for your forgiveness. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for healing. And Father, we choose this morning, all of us, we choose to re-identify ourselves with who you say we are. Father, we choose to align ourselves with heaven this morning. And Father, we choose this morning to say we choose to remember who we are, where we've forgotten who we are, where we've acted recklessly as a result of that. Father, I just thank you this morning that we choose this morning to step into your purposes and your destiny that come as a result of being identified with Christ. And Father, when we think about our homework this week, it's not really homework at all. It's actually an opportunity for an upgrade. Yeah. Father, we call it upgrade opportunity. We call it an upgrade opportunity, Father. And Father, stir our hearts to respond. Father, and we just thank you that this room is filled to the brim with people that just carry so much of heaven. So much of heaven. Well, what I feel to do this morning, I am going to invite those that gave their lives to Christ this morning to come, and you're going to come and stand sort of on the right-hand side of the stage, and amazing Dione will be close by. We are going to make the front available for ministry, but I do feel that I think we need to end on a note with a freedom song, because it's more than just what's happening right now, that there's the week ahead, there's the month ahead, and there's just amazing destiny and purpose that he wants to unlock. And I just think we just need to finish on just a celebratory note this morning. Does that sound good? Who's remembered who they are this morning? Who's choosing to remember who they are this morning? Yes, Renita is. So let's just come to the front, and what we'll do is that the ministry team, can you guys sort of line up on this part of the thing, the altar call? Just because I want to give a little bit of freedom for those who just feel they just want to feel free to just come and worship. Come and respond as needed, but I do want to give space for ministry, absolutely. And then just those that responded to my call, just come and see Dione. But let's just come to the front, those who would love to. And church is officially...